Our scripture today, which can be found in your pew Bible, is on page, well, I don't know what page it's on, but it's on Isaiah. So if you go to the book of Isaiah, it's the first chapter there. Okay. As you're looking for that, let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for your word, which we're about to read together, which you have freely and lovingly and graciously given to us. We ask you, Lord, that our hearts, our minds are open, that your word penetrates our lives, that we're able to see you all the more clearly and your will for us. We also pray for the sermon, for your mercy to be shown on that. May it too be used for your glory, and that your light shines as best as possible. We thank you for all that you are, and we pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 1, and then verse 10 to 20. Hear now God's word. The vision concerning Judah and Jerusalem that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the instruction of our God, you people of Gomorrah. The multitude of your sacrifices, what are they to me, says the Lord. I have more than enough burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fattened animals. I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. When you come to appear before me, who has asked this of you, this trampling of my courts? Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. New moons, Sabbath, and convocations, I cannot bear your worthless assemblies. Your new moon feasts and your appointed festivals I hate with all my being. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I hide my eyes from you. Even when you offer many prayers, I am not listening. Your hands are full of blood. Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good things of the land. But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The sermon title, of course, we covered during the children's chat, but we'll get more onto that here in a bit. Of course, as is the case in most things when reading Scripture, considering the context in which it's written is very helpful to us. So we're going to start there, and we're going to do so with a comparison to the United States. So the United States is founded on a few basic principles that are very important to the identity of our United States. And one of those principles is the understanding of the separation between church and state. Now, why does the separation between church and state exist? What is that purpose? That no one knows why we have separation of church and state. So the government can't regulate worship. So the worship the religious rites we have is separate from government, so the government can't have any say in that. We can worship how and who we please. That freedom is why that separation exists. Now, it has other implications, but I don't know them well enough to get into them. I don't think they pertain today anyway. But this understanding of the separation between church and state would be an extremely foreign understanding to the people of Judah. The people of Israel, to say that church and state is separate would be an extremely laughing matter. They would say, no, it's not. Their understanding of society, of culture, of religion and worship, of politics and the king, is that it's all together. And God made it that way on purpose when God established the laws with Moses and Israel during that time. Everything was together. In fact, when they wanted a king, Samuel, who was in charge of finding their first king, was saddened because they felt that them wanting a king was a rejection of him as prophet during that day, as judge. God said, no, it's not a rejection of you, it's a rejection of me. Because they wanted a king, something separate from God, then God saw this as a violation of that trust. Now the king then became under the purview of God. Whomever was king, that's whom God chose, and to obey your king in many ways is to obey God. It's all together because the king is obeying God in the first place. The separation of church and state, again, would be completely foreign to their understanding. When you worship God, that worship is a means to obedience. That obedience is a way to connect God with whomever you are around. To sum it up, we'll do so with the Bible's words. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. These are not separate. These are intricately woven within each other. To love the Lord your God is to love your neighbor. To love your neighbor is to love the Lord your God. Problem with what we're finding here with Isaiah, and the reason that Isaiah was called by God, is because this wasn't happening. They didn't make the connection between worship and life. The problem is that they knew they had to fulfill both, but figure if they fulfilled their responsibility towards God in worship, then they can live however it is they pleased. They obeyed God. They obeyed God in that they gave offerings, lambs, rams, oxen, whatever it is that the law had required, they gave. They gave the goodwill offering, the grain offering, the wave offering. They did all that. They had the new moon rituals and the feast and celebration. They celebrated the tenth one, I can't quite remember. They did all that. And yet, God was not happy. The thing is that they did all that. And yet, when they went out and they lived, they cheated, they stole, they took advantage of. The middle class hardly existed because those who were rich got richer off of the poor. And the poor got poorer. God saw this and it was detestable to God. God then sacrificed, though being a very important part all throughout the entire Bible, starting with Genesis chapter 3, where God did the first sacrifice. Remember, Adam and Eve were naked, and so God killed the animals in order to clothe them. God made the first sacrifice. And so ever since that time, sacrifice was required. Remember Cain and Abel? Both of them made sacrifices to God, though Abel's was better because Abel gave the first, where Cain gave whatever. Sacrifice, though, in itself was never an end. It was always a means. A way to understand that because we give to God, God is of the greatest importance of our life, and so then we give not only the sacrifice, we give also of ourselves in obedience and love to God. But the people in Israel weren't doing that. People in Israel were only going to church on Sunday, and that was it. Because they fulfilled that hour, the rest of their week belonged to them. God, you get this day, I get the other six. And so they lived however they pleased. They took as long as it benefited them, having the audacity to call it blessing. So God sent Isaiah, and through Isaiah, what we read today is what Isaiah shared with the people. Calling them rulers of Sodom and Gomorrah. I don't want your burnt offerings anymore or your fatted animals. You trample my courts. I don't want you to do that. You bring meaningless offerings. It means nothing to me. Your Sabbath, your new moons, again, nothing. They've become weary to me. When you pray, I don't listen because of how you act to everybody else. In verse 17, he says this, learn to do right. Just like we asked the kids today, what does the Lord require? But to love mercy, walk humbly. Love mercy, walk humbly, act justly. This is not a new theme in the Bible. It's all throughout. And this comes down to us, the church today, under Jesus Christ. This stuff is still important. Worshiping God and praising God and offering God our sacrifices, our offerings, ourselves, all that is still of great importance. But isn't the sole reason we're here. Everything has a purpose. Our worship and our sacrifice leads then to our living for Christ. We give because we understand how important God is to us and how much God has given to us. And because we understand that, then we live for Christ. We should then learn to do right, seek justice, defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow, live justly. What does this then mean for us? For me, what I think this does is it makes us take inventory of our lives, of our church. We are a two-commandment people. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. Or are we doing that? We're gathered here for worship today. We're praising God with song and devotion. We give of our offerings and of ourselves. We love and support one another. We lift each other up in prayer as we just did. We celebrate with one another those good things that are happening. We do that together here on Sunday morning for about an hour, give or take a couple minutes on either side. But then we're also told to love our neighbor as ourselves. Are we doing that? We are, in part. We got the backpacks and the school kits which we're giving to those who are in need. We collect the mission things each month. There are other things that we've done in the past. But no matter how much we do, there's always more left there. There's always people in our neighborhood and in our families and in our lives, people who may not even be in our lives yet, but who are coming later, whom Christ asks us to learn to do right, to seek justice for them, to defend the oppressed, to take up the cause of the fatherless, to plead the case of the widow. We live in a community. Do we know what's going on? Do we understand some of the needs that exist here? What are some ways that we can? We get the newspaper twice a week. Which one do we get twice a week? The Star? Or is that once a week? Get what? Pentraffer News. Get that twice a week. And then every Thursday, they deliver the... Is that the Star? That's the Star, every Thursday. Those are ways to understand what's going on. We have a council town council that meets every Tuesday, the first Tuesday of every month. Going there helps us understand what's going on in our community. Because being a Christian is not just a Sunday morning thing. As God tells Israel, it's an everyday life thing. How we love one another is worshiping God and matters to God. Share with you this benediction, and then following we will close with bind us together. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.